Please be seated. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The gospel for today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, is always an account of the baptism of Jesus. It is also one of the 4 days appropriate for baptism. And when there is no baptism, we renew our vows. So, why do you, the baptized, gather here on Sunday? Are you here because of the vague curiosity about the human condition? Are you here to be titillated, entertained, or even reassured? If entertainment fly to Las Vegas, what happens there stays there. If reassurance soothes your pain, then try some drugs or self-help books because they are much cheaper than being baptized and trying to be church. No, you the baptized come because you have been called. I am certainly not the one who called you. For if I were calling a church, I doubt that I would have called this church. I have noted over the years that I am a great deal more discriminating than God. I have talked a lot about how, as Christians, we are to be countercultural, called to live in this world with different priorities, different beliefs, different focus points. The church is not the Rotary Club, you know. Being a Christian is not synonymous with being a good person. It is much more. We are called to live a different life, ready to die to Christ for being adopted into his body and blood. Luther put it this way: every day of our lives, we must wake up and volunteer for death, praying to God to finish in us what was begun in our baptism. The unfortunate truth is that we have flattened and minimized baptism. If the truth be known, the more scary, incomprehensible, dark, primordial, and risky we make it, the more truth we have put into it. Baptism is indeed a one-time event that takes our entire life to finish. Baptism stands as a visible reminder to the world that God calls us for more. Baptism demonstrates that his saving work, our work through him, is relentlessly political. He comes to call a new people, to evoke a new citizenship made by water and the word. Unfortunately, today baptism has lost its impactful meaning, its foundation of counterculturalness. Often after baptism and confirmation, we don't see the newly baptized or newly confirmed again. The church has so lessened the importance and significance of it that after one is baptized and confirmed, they often get the feeling that it's done, it's over. That's all there is to it. That is the problem. Despite our best intentions, and despite all that we say and try to communicate, too many people seem to think that the baptism of the infant, or young adult, or adult, is the culminating activity of faith, and that we are done. In today's gospel, Matthew tells us the opposite. In Matthew, the baptism of Jesus is not the ending of his ministry. It is the beginning of his ministry. It is his launching point. It is his commissioning to begin the public ministry for which he was created and to which he was called. To be sure, the baptism of Jesus named his identity. And this is crucial. Identity, however, is not a static thing. One's identity grows and deepens, as did Jesus' identity throughout his public ministry. His identity is about purpose, and personhood. Although our culture has diminished, does not seem to remember what happens at baptism, God knows, and God just keeps baptizing. You and you and you and me. The whole Christian gospel can be summed up in this point, that when the living God looks at us, at every baptized and believing Christian, God says to us what God said to Jesus that day. God sees us not as we see ourselves, but as we are in Jesus Christ. It sometimes seems impossible, but it is true. God looks at us and says, "You are my dear, dear child. I am delighted with you." Try reading that sentence slowly, or saying that sentence slowly with your own name at the start, and reflect quietly on God saying that to you, both at your baptism and every day since. And a voice came from heaven. "Jim, Carol, MJ, Bob, you are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." I want to close with a story that I think applies very well, and it comes from deep in our past, back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication. There was a story, perhaps just a legend, about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. And answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed, and when he arrived, he entered a large, noisy office, and in the background, telegraphs clicked away. A sign on the receptionist's counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were called to come into the inner office. And the young man completed his form and sat down with seven other applicants. And after a few minutes, this young man stands up, crosses the room to the inner door, and walks right in. And naturally, the other applicants perk up a little, wonder what's going on. Why had this person been so bold? They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons. They thought to themselves, "Who does he think he is?" And within a few minutes, the young man emerges from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer, who announces to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming. But the job has been filled by this young man." And the other applicants, as you can imagine, began grumbling to each other. And then one speaks up, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last one to come in. And we were never even given a chance to be interviewed. Yet he gets the job. That's just not fair." And the employer responds, "All the time you have been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did. So the job is his." Our livelihood, indeed our very lives, depends upon our ability to discern the meaning of the words Matthew shared with us today. "You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." It's up to us, folks. Today, as you come forward, dip your hands in the water. Recall your own baptism. And know that you are the one God and Jesus loves and calls to do their work in you.